As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody. For whoever wants to listen, I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Scoot Goot.
Ew. I don't like that one.
I was,
I don't like the ones that you forget and like you try to like riff halfway through.
Well, it's our second episode of the evening, and I forgot that I'd have two names for you, so I'll do better next time. Okay. When I say Scoot Goots? Scoot, fuck. I should have taken a screenshot of all the ones that people sent in, and I would just have a list of them. That was my bad.
Yeah, that's on you.
Yeah, it is.
You need
to
have better material. Yeah, I mean, we're back into it. Live show last week, took a little time off. Steel was doing some traveling. I was not doing traveling. I was just relaxing, you know? I had a moment today that, do you know the song, I don't know what it's called, but it's like, it's probably, but you would know it if I'm going to start, I'm just going to start singing it. It's on TikTok all the time. It's like, when I'm back in Chicago.
Nope.
You know that song? No? Okay. Well, anyway, it's sung by Joe Keery, who's Steve in Stranger Things.
Oh, no shit.
It's a huge song. If you go on TikTok, it's like every other fucking post is that song in the background. And I had no idea, but I really liked the song. So I was going through it, and then finally a TikTok popped up, and it was, did you know that Joe Keery sings the song? I'm like, oh, that's insane. So I went and listened to the song, then listened to the other stuff. It's like, the rest of it kind of sounds like the Beatles when they were on LSD.
Okay,
you know,
cool.
Like when they get a little experimental. But that song's really good, and that blew me away. It was great.
Steve the Hare Harrington.
Yep.
He's a singer.
Yep.
I had no idea.
Pretty good, too.
You know where you could listen to that? In a summer house.
Jesus, dude.
You thought I was going to plug the live show, didn't you?
You're going to plug Spotify or something. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Spotify.
We're on Spotify.
Yeah, they take all the money from the talent.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
How do you like me now?
How do you like me now?
I shouldn't say that.
No, you shouldn't. We don't want to get on Spotify's bad side.
Yeah, no, they're much more powerful than we are.
Yeah.
We love you.
I don't like to admit that, but yeah.
Maybe they're in the Illuminati with the Beatles.
The ultra tie back in. No, yeah, we're going to get into Summer House because this is, I don't even know if we call this a midweek episode. We're just trying to get out as much content as possible. You know, we're trying to catch up. Like I said, we took a couple of days off from a live show. Speaking of, we've got two more live shows coming back up. And the first one that's coming up is Friday, May 3rd in D.C. I apologize if you listened to the Beverly Hills one just before this, because we're going to do it again.
Yep.
We've got two shows coming up. The first one is D.C., May 3rd, Friday night, Union Stage. Get those tickets. There are plenty of tickets because it is a very big venue, and we're trying to fill that shit up, you know?
Yeah, baby.
Trying to get it going. So go ahead, get as many tickets as you want to that. But if you're in the Boston area or you want to take a trip up to Boston in June 14th, there's only a few tickets left. That thing's going to sell out in the next couple of weeks. So don't say that we didn't tell you. We've been warning you.
We have.
We have been warning you for weeks. So that thing's going to sell out quickly. Make sure you get your tickets for that. Come see the bros live at two different venues.
Yeah, in Boston. Broston.
Why did you say Breston first?
I was going to say Broston, and then I was like, that doesn't make sense. Then I said Broston, but I got caught in the middle.
Okay, all right, that's fair. We'll work on that.
That's my explanation. At least I have an explanation for it.
This is what happens when we do two episodes in one day.
Yeah, we get wacky. So
things
buckle
get
up,
wacky,
baby. But we are back with Summer House, which this is a good season of Summer House, and I'm so glad.
It's three episodes in.
I know.
Let's relax.
Look. Compared to what we watched last year.
Yep.
This is a good season of Summer House thus far, and I am, as I said last episode, the serial optimist of the group, so I'm just excited, because I like when this show's good. When Summer House is good, it's a great fucking show. Like, it's entertaining, it's light, it's easy to watch, like, this is a fun show, so I'm excited that we got off the ground running, especially after last season, but we jump in, and it's a much more serious topic, and this is the aftermath of all of that shit we saw last week with Lindsay being a total asshole to Carl, asking if he's sober, if he's doing drugs again, asking everybody in the house or telling everybody in the house, like, this is, he's not sober. You're implying that he has fallen off the wagon, which I've already given my rant on that. We get a check-in between Lindsay and Danielle, of all people, and they're not cool. Like, they haven't smoothed things over. The last time they talked was a while ago. I think they took a picture somewhere because they're both in the same place, but they're not on, like, speaking terms. And Lindsay spins this story completely the other way. We saw the morning after. Carl gets upset, rightfully so, because of all the bullshit she spewed the night before. She was drunk. She takes no accountability in the bedroom when they're trying to have the conversation. Carl gets a little bit heated. He does not yell. He wasn't aggressive. He wasn't any of those things. He's frustrated because you're not taking the time to talk to him when he's trying very hard to take the time to talk to you. You're not hearing it. You say that he's speaking over you. He's being aggressive. All of these things to Danielle, who's not your friend right now. We watched it happen. This is horrifying.
Yeah, the side-by-side conversations that we get with Carl and Kyle sitting outside and Danielle and Lindsay inside couldn't have gone completely differently. And it's, look, at the end of the day, you have to be kind of a sick person to watch a relationship like Carl and Lindsay just fall apart. And I'm a hypochondriac. I fucking love it.
Oh, God.
I can't get enough of it. Because we know how it ends.
Yeah.
And, like, I despise Lindsay right now. She is so intolerable. And for her to go to a non-friend right now, listen, we had the conversation on the beach a little bit later. Danielle isn't even sure if she wants to go to your goddamn wedding.
Right.
What are you confiding in her? Because you have no other friends in the house. You are afraid to talk to anybody else. And yet, you're sitting here with someone who questioned your relationship last year, and you are so giddy to spin this story where you are a complete asshole.
You're playing victim.
Double and triple down on whether or not Carl was doing drugs the night before just because you felt like he was being aggressive towards you. You came home and you were hammered, laying in bed, speaking nonsense, talking about all this shit with Gabby, and Gabby's like, I don't know what the hell's going on. People say whoa when you say cocaine Carl. And you say it again? It doesn't make any sense for you to sit there now with Danielle, who you're not in a good place with, and spin this whole story as if you're the victim in all of this. Carl was aggressive in going after you. No, he probably wasn't. You were anxious, which is fine, by the way. And this is what is so tough to watch, too. Carl is giving Lindsay so much grace. And he's
all
letting her,
grace.
He understands
all of the grace.
And we talked about it last week. We're like, look, we know going into this, you're going to be extremely anxious. Just don't take it out on each other because it's not the person that should be and have any sort of anger directed at. And you immediately failed that test.
Yeah.
And for Carl to sit outside and he's talking to Kyle and he's still giving her passes again and again. And he's talking about how anxious she is. Kyle has to stop him. And these two are friends. Kyle stops him. He's like, dude. This is what happens with Lindsay. You have to, he's like, I have to eventually just fall on the sword and deal with it. I'm not in a relationship with her. I am not engaged to her. You shouldn't have to do that. And Carl's like, yeah, no, I get it. But I think the saddest part is he's sitting there talking about the wedding and you're supposed to be excited about a wedding. You're supposed to be pumped about it. Like, yeah, is there other shit going on that you're a little anxious about, you know, trying to get vendors together or whatever and try to get to a head count? Sure. You shouldn't be sitting there and saying, when I think about it, I get really sad.
Yeah.
That's fucking terrible.
That's brutal. And he says, I don't want to blame her. That's when Kyle cut him off and goes, dude, what she said last night is unacceptable.
Yep.
Period.
And it is.
There's no working around it. There's no other way to spin it. Like, I get you're trying to protect your girl here, but at the same time, dude, you got to protect yourself at the same time. I said same time twice.
You did.
But it's important to get across.
Same time, same time.
Same time. But the fact that she keeps bringing up old Carl is awful because you're weaponizing it. You're trying to do that so that everyone in the house has a visual of, oh, shit, we remember old Carl. But by implying it when it doesn't apply, that is dangerous because you're making Carl second guess his actions. Carl is a fragile sobriety person. He has been very open about that. It's not as easy for him sometimes, and it's amazing that he has the strength to share that. That doesn't mean he's weak. It doesn't mean anything. It means he's strong enough to say, there are certain things that I struggle with still, and I'm working on it. I'm trying to be the best person I can. If you're throwing inklings out there that he is reminiscent in any way, shape, or form of the guy that he used to be, now he's questioning himself. Now he's questioning what he's doing. Am I that guy again? Am I being aggressive? Because that's how it starts. You start to repeat certain patterns. Next thing you know, things start to snowball and you start to become that person again. So just by planting that seed in his head where he has to second guess himself when he's not in the wrong, that's the other part of this. By her saying he was aggressive that morning, that gives you a glimpse into the car ride. If that is her version of him being aggressive, then we know exactly what happened in the car. He wasn't being aggressive. He was trying to be calm. She was drunk and overreacted to it. That's what we're getting.
Yeah, and honestly, at the end of the day, the denominator in all of this is Lindsay.
Yeah.
He's not using drugs. He's not drinking. And you're seeing some sort of... And this is the thing, is Lindsay can never look in because she has no fucking like personal awareness or self-awareness. You're the reason why he's acting this way. Not everybody else.
No.
You're the reason. You're supposed to be the person that's supporting him.
Yep.
He needs help. We watched how last summer went. He was struggling the entire summer. You were so wrapped up in your own shit and everybody else disliking you that you made it really difficult for him. Here we are again, back in the summer house. You're doing it once again. This is all about you and how uncomfortable you are, and you don't want to do this with them, and you think everybody's out to get you. Carl's just trying to help everybody, and he's trying to smooth everything over and make sure that you are at least somewhat aware of what's going on and you can try to calm the hell down. And you're going back at him, and it's creating this old Carl, if you will. You're the reason why he's doing it all.
Yeah, and by the way, even when he is frustrated, rightfully so, he's angry, rightfully so, he's not being explosive. He is very in control of his emotions. He's trying to talk his way through it with other people in the house and still not make you out to be the villain in the story. This man is trying to do everything to defend you and to paint a picture of it's not that bad.
Yep.
And that's when you know a situation, a relationship, an engagement, anything. If you have to defend it with, it's not that bad, it's probably pretty fucking bad. And we're watching it all unfold, and you're taking pleasure in it, which is a whole different story.
Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting. And looking at it through this lens, when you see a scene when they're at the beach, and you see Carl and Danielle having a catch with the football and talking about Carl's job and what he's trying to do and what he's searching for in life, and they're just having a normal talk. Look, it flashes over to Lindsay. She's making a face at those two having a conversation. You just had a conversation with her. I don't see what the problem is there. But she's just talking to him. And this is what this relationship prohibits from happening. Other relationships with other people in the house, in life probably. These two are probably so sickeningly codependent that they don't have time for other people when they're in the city. They're probably on top of each other, and not in a sexual way, all of the time.
Yeah.
But you get to see, okay, Carl and Danielle, maybe there is a friendship there. We get a glimpse of it later, not to jump too far ahead, when they're at dinner. The way that Amanda reacts, where she's like, we have Carl, that is such a shock moment where it's like, holy shit, guys, we actually have Carl one-on-one. I would love to know when the last time that happened was.
I no idea.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It has to be
definitely
so
not off camera.
To the point where Amanda's reaction was so genuine, like, oh my God, we get solo Carl for once. This is fucking great, because people like Carl because he's a likable guy.
Yep. Without Lindsay, he's much more likable.
It's tough to watch, but we get Paige and Amanda discussing Jesse, which I'm glad we're finally talking about it. But Amanda says he's overstepping. Paige says, yeah, he's overstepping. He put his hand on my knee. And then he says, by the way, Craig will beat your ass.
Good.
I want to see this fight. I want to see this fight.
Yeah.
In like an exhibition boxing setting. Let's not get anybody legally in trouble. But I think there should be like a Bravo beatdown, where if a Bravo Leb wants to challenge a Bravo Leb, there's a forum in which they can both consent to do so. And maybe, you know, just have a little boxing match.
At the very least, give me like the claymation. Give me a little celebrity death match.
Oh, man, that would be cool.
And then we just have like Carl, or rather Carl. Although I did have a hard time when they're walking around the house. And I'm like, is that Carl? Oh, no, it's Jesse. I don't know.
They are very
like tall, and they're kind of like similar builds. Yeah, so that was really confusing. But Jesse wasn't even in this episode at all.
Not really.
I don't think he did a damn thing in this episode. And that's, I think, what we need to point to. And this is what we talked about last episode, where Jesse's in the car riding up with West, and he's talking about, and we talked about it in the first episode too, he's talking about going after girls that are in relationships. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
And when Paige is in the kitchen the morning after that night, she goes, yeah, I kind of browned out. You'd have to tell me what happened last night. She remembers that specifically.
Yep.
So that's a problem. You shouldn't be doing shit like that. And I do like that at least, you know, it wasn't super heavy. It wasn't a big thing, but it is still a, hey, dude, boundaries or Craig will beat your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be as simple as that.
It is.
Hopefully he backs off, because I do think Jesse can bring a little bit more to this show. obviously West has brought so much to the show. He's such a likable character that you get a little bit from, especially from a new guy. It just makes it a lot more lighter, a lot more fun, and I'm into it. Jesse, I think, can bring a little bit of that. He just needs to get the fuck away from Paige.
Honestly, if you leave the I'm going to go after take-in girls thing,
yeah.
Like, get over that. That's not fun. That's not funny. It's not cute. It's not anything. It's embarrassing and a weird way to go about your life.
Right.
Especially if you're going to announce it on TV. Like, yeah, I'm a homewrecker. Like, weird.
Very weird.
And I agree with you. I think that there's way more to this dude that can be brought to this show. I think he can help this show a lot if he stops with that narrative. And I don't know if that's like his big plan was like, this is who I'm going to be on the show. Weird approach.
Yeah, very weird approach.
But hopefully this will check him a little bit. At some point he gets checked and he's like, oh shit, maybe this is the wrong way to go about things. But time will tell. The next scene, we get Lindsay and Danielle talking. And this one pissed me off too. And I should just get used to when Lindsay's on the screen that I'm going to be mad at something that's happening, because they're talking about what Carl and Danielle were discussing. He's like, oh, you know, he's just talking about what he wants to do, you know, this journey that he's on right now, trying to figure out the next step. And she's like, yeah, but he's been doing that for a year. And then we go into stupid confessional where she's like, I'm an influencer. I make a ton of money doing this, this, and that. And
did you see her the house in Nashville that she's promoting?
No.
It's a reality themed house. Oh,
that's her?
Yeah.
I saw the house. I didn't know that.
Hub House or House of Hub or whatever. And yeah, and I know a lot of people, I think it's a cool idea. I think it's
not
fine,
a bad idea.
But it's Lindsay. So I'm not for it. I'm against it.
I am too, just because she's pissing me off so much.
This is the thing though, and I'm trying to separate the art from the artist, if you will, with Lindsay. I don't really have a problem with her bitching about Carl trying to find a job. I feel like that probably sucks. Like, in a relationship, if your boyfriend, and look, we've seen Carl do this for how many fucking years? He never knows what to do about his career. He's always making changes. He's always overthinking things. Just go into sales and like figure it out and jump around, dude. I get where he was last year. He was in a really bad spot with Loverboy, but a full year of trying to figure it out and paying somebody $20,000 to give you career advice and you still don't know what you're doing. Again, like, if you have the means to do that, sure.
That's what I mean.
But like, we know people like that and they kind of annoy me.
I think that when you add in the sobriety factor, it's a very different story, honestly.
Possibly, yeah. That could be a factor into it. And again, I don't like Lindsay nagging about Carl to somebody who she's not close with currently, with Danielle. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But at the end of the day, I kind of understand that. At the core of it, my issue is just Lindsay talking shit about Carl. You're in a not good place right now after what you did last night.
Mm-hmm.
You just said that he was on drugs. He's a sober person who's struggling. You shouldn't be sitting there talking more shit about your fiance to someone that you're not close with. What the fuck are you doing?
No, but I agree with Danielle's approach. And again, that could be because I'm sober as well and sympathizing with the fact that, like, he's trying to figure out everything, his entire life, what it looks like without booze and jobs. And he had a great job at Loverboy, but because it was centered around booze, that wasn't a good fit. So Now he's just trying to find his footing. And the one person that should be in your corner is your fiance. She shouldn't be. And this is her, dude. And I'm sure this shit happens behind closed doors. And she says shit like this all the time. These off color comments, like, you know, we're just trying to figure out what Carl's going to do when he grows up. Like, you have it all figured out. You have it all together. Carl's the fucking mess.
Yeah,
like, are you
so
kidding
true.
Me? Like, those
and
are
again,
the
comments. Like, let's be honest. What are you doing? You're doing basically,
you're an influencer,
you say you're doing
you
what
said.
Paige does. You're getting things sent to you and then you're sitting on camera in front of it. And look, we did this in the new Roni too, where they were talking, I forget who it was. Sai was doing it. They're not, you know, jobs that you get up on a chair and start yelling about how much of an impact you're making on the world. Like, let's relax a little bit.
It's just crazy, dude. And like, it really bums me out because I'm sure this shit is so much more compounded when they're alone, and it's probably her saying stuff and Carl being like, yeah, you're right, babe. And just trying to be agreeable, because if he's not agreeable, we see what happens.
There's a new variation on babe. It's babes.
Babes, I know. Yeah, yeah, that's how they altered it. She's like, okay, I know you don't want to
say babe all weekend.
We're going to add an S to it. Babes. Like, fuck me. But
after we just had a meltdown of a fight.
Yeah, and you know,
so toxic. It's great.
It's so toxic. It's not great because Carl's suffering from it.
I know, like, but he's okay now.
He is okay. And thank God he got through it and all that. And I'm so glad that he just stayed quiet.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that over the past year, waiting for this season to come out, he didn't go on a campaign against Lindsay. He didn't speak out. He didn't do interviews. He didn't do anything. And I think it's because he knows once you watch the season, And this is what Craig told us. Once you watch it, you'll get it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he took that approach. But Danielle ends up saying that she's going to go to the wedding because Lindsay, now she needs a friend. So now she's like, of course I want you there. It's like, oh, you do? Because last year says a different story. So it's fucking annoying, man. It's all fucking annoying. But we get Carl and Lindsay finally having a discussion at the beach. And this was brutal. I fucking hated it from start to finish because as he approaches her to have a conversation, she's dismissive as shit. She's like, okay, I guess. Like, she's still the victim.
Yep.
She has yet to once say to anybody, I can't believe I said that last night. Anything along those lines.
No remorse.
Zero remorse. She's still the victim. And they go over there. Carl initiates where he's like, you know, I got a little heated this and that. It's like, bro, no, you didn't. You defended yourself. That's when you see a broken person.
Yep.
He's bending the knee to every will that she has to try to make this work. He just wants to make this work because he's her protector in some way, shape, or form. He's the protector of the relationship. Other people don't know her like I do. I have to smooth this over because at the root of it, she's a great person. I know that person. All of you don't. The girl that you're seeing and telling me to be wary of and to guard myself from, I don't know that person because she's beautiful and great. I just have to be the mediator. No, you don't. That's not how relationships work, man. That's not what you have to do. That's not your role. It's a partnership, mutual partnership. You need to be able to rely on each other. If she loses her shit on you and says some horrible things, you have every right to get mad, say that's fucked up, and not try to smooth it over. That's her job to do it. But Carl being Carl and in the position he's in, he takes it upon himself to smooth it over. Instantly, she plays the victim. I just don't know where this is coming from. He's like, oh, I love you. I know. That's when I knew, like, you're a fucking sociopath. This is all about you. You don't give a fuck about Carl, his feelings, what he's going through, his emotions, because it doesn't serve you. Now it serves you because he is trying to smooth things over. So you're going to continue to play this fucking victim. And she says, I'm not understanding where this is coming from. Are you mad at me for something else? Did I do something to you?
That's probably the craziest part of all.
Bizarre.
This is when I knew immediately. And this is the thing. If you were drunk enough that you forgot that you said it, I guess that's one thing. But Carl told you multiple times, this is what's going on. You woke up the next day and still brought it up and still questioned it and still said, yeah, I was right to text you and say, text me when you're sober. All of those things because you thought that he was a little aggressive and it brought you back and you're acting like you've got this PTSD from cocaine Carl, from the old Carl, which, by the way, when they show those clips, most of the time you guys weren't actually dating. You guys were friends. And I'm not going to belittle any of it. That's fine, whatever. But you know what he's going through. You should know even more what he's going through now. And to sit down on the beach and ask if it was about something else is crazy.
Wild.
And again, we still really haven't even gotten the specifics of what was said in the car. It's just, you know, from different people that she was upset that she wasn't in the girl's car. It's like, okay, Lindsay, have some fucking awareness. You're not cool with them. Do we really want to put you, and this is the other thing, you're being protected by being in the car with the guys.
Yep.
Because none of them are going to get you all riled up. None of them are going to start talking shit to you.
You would think.
You would think, I guess Carl might, but you in the girl's car is a bad environment. So they're making sure that you're good. Everything that's going on this weekend is just Carl trying to handle you with care because he knows that you might get super anxious, you might blow up, and it's going to ruin the whole weekend. We just want to ease into the summer here. You're doing everything in your power to go against that.
Yep.
And it makes no sense. It's not self-serving. You're completely blowing up. You shouldn't be there if this is how you're going to be the entire time. And then you're going to blame Carl at the end of it, the only person that's there to protect you. Like, it's just fucking ludicrous to me. And for her to not take responsibility to say, oh, yeah, at the very least, I understand. Look, I was really scared because of your actions and what was going on. I do understand how me saying that you were on drugs last night could impact you or did impact you. You're not even saying that much. You're just completely ignoring it and saying it must have been about something else.
She says it must have been about something else. And that's when Carl actually brings up the sober comments. Her response to that was not, I'm sorry, was not anything remorseful. It was, I have PTSD from old Carl.
Mm-hmm.
I blamed you and said that you're doing drugs again because I have PTSD from old Carl and I'm still the victim. Fuck you. What are we doing here? Like, you literally said the worst possible thing you could say about somebody that's sober to everybody and to people on national TV, and you can't even say, I'm sorry, Carl. She didn't take any accountability.
It's actually starting to make a lot of sense now why she feels like she was blindsided by the end of the year. Because she has no idea what's going on.
It's actually a good point.
Like, if you're going to be in that denial, or that much denial of what's going on around you, to not even understand where Carl's coming from in this sense, then you're not going to understand when he breaks up with you at the end of the summer. You are going to feel blindsided because you're so in your own world that you just don't understand what's going on.
I can sum it up literally in one segment, quickly. She said horrible, horrible things, overreacted, tried to rally other people in the group against you when you're actively trying to smooth things over for her to the rest of the group. When you finally sat down for a conversation, Carl apologized.
Yep.
Lindsay didn't. That's fucking insane. Thank God he got out of this.
Thank God he got out of it.
Seriously. Because, like, from a sobriety standpoint, like, I don't know how the fuck you would manage that, genuinely. And that's a bold statement to make, but yep. That's the kind of shit I'm seeing. It's really scary, but this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We here at the Brav Bros, we prioritize our mental health, don't we, Shoots?
Certainly do.
Because when we're ranting and raving about The Housewives or Summer House or any of the other shows, sometimes we get a little, you know, flustered, a little frustrated, and it's good to talk those things out with a third party. Maybe you're going through relationship problems. Maybe there's a little issue in communication. BetterHelp can help fix those issues. I know it's a little personal, Shoots, but have you done therapy?
Certainly have, yeah.
I have as well, and I've found it to be so cathartic, so helpful in a lot of situations where I can't seem to get out of my own way. Sometimes you need that third party to talk to you and a partner, potentially. If you're going through a relationship issue or if it's just a personal problem of your own, BetterHelp is here to help you. Have you tried BetterHelp?
Yeah, I have.
What was your thoughts on it?
I loved it. I thought it was perfect. I thought that it was easy to follow all the instructions to try to figure out what was going to work best for me, and I ended up doing a great job.
And I think the other thing to note here is if you don't vibe with your therapist, you can change your therapist at no extra cost to you. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BravBros today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BravBros.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We get to the dinner scene. Everyone is going their own separate ways. We got a dinner at the house. We got dinner out. And West and Sierra, I wish I could, like, find out if they're together. I don't know if
they are. I don't think they are.
I want them to be.
I did come around on it.
Did you?
I've come around finally, yeah.
Well, she's giving in a little bit.
She's giving in a little bit. And it's, mostly it's because I think that West is such a great guy. And again, the reasons that I didn't want to come around to it is the reasons for most of it is whenever people couple up, especially when new guys come in and new girls come in, whatever, and they start coupling up, the summer gets boring.
Yeah.
They just go on dates. They go to fucking Barry's boot camp in the morning. They are boring. They don't have fun anymore.
You're also basing this off of Lindsay and Carl again.
No, I'm not. Honestly, it happened with, that's different. A lot of them went to Barry's boot camp. It wasn't just Lindsay and Carl.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, like half the group went.
Okay.
Because they didn't stay up late. They went to bed at 9 o'clock. Anyway.
Not this crew.
Don't bring me back into that, okay? No, this time, everything seems, aside from the Lindsay and Carl stuff, everything else is pretty light. Everything else is fun.
It is.
We don't even see, Amanda and Kyle are arguing about kids and stuff. But other than that, everything else is pretty fun and pretty light, and they're partying and they're having a good time, which is what I like to see. So I don't think that this would be a huge detriment to that, because I do think that West and Sierra, if they are, you know, casually dating or whatever, can still have fun and still bring it. That's at least where I've gotten to.
Okay, I'll take that.
I might eat my words. I don't think I will, because even if it doesn't work, I don't think that West is going to go cower or like hold some grudge against Sierra and then it's going to divide the house or anything like that. I just don't see him doing that. And I don't see Sierra doing that either, because Wes is still a good guy. It's not Austin. So I think that it could work out either way.
I think that regardless of how it goes, it's going to be amicable
yeah.
because of the two parties involved.
Exactly.
I agree with you there. But this is where we get the scene with Carl at dinner. And like I said, Amanda is just baffled that he's there solo and says to him, it's important to have separate things. And God damn it, it is. Like, you need to have your own shit. Lindsay needs to have her own shit. And you have your own shit together. That's a successful relationship. You have to have some independence to be able to thrive as an individual so you can be the best person for your partner. So you can show up when it like counts. That's so big. And that was awesome for Amanda to say. And I love that the group is not afraid to talk to Carl when Lindsay's not present. I also love that they're taking an approach where it's not bashing her until Sierra speaks up in a second. But most of them, and Kyle's always been good at this. Like, this is probably one of his best traits, is when he talks to his boys, like his friends, he makes a lot of sense. He's usually, unless he's drunk, pretty calm and collected and logical on the situation when it comes to addressing other people's relationship stuff. When it comes to his own,
it's a different story.
But he's good at giving advice. And like we saw it earlier when he was talking to Carl, he's not berating Lindsay. He's just pointing out facts.
Yep.
Saying these are things that you have to do when you're dealing with Lindsay. I would hate to see that for you for an entire marriage. Not saying so much like don't do it. More saying, like, you need to figure out a way through this before you get married, or it's going to be a very, very tough marriage, and you're going to be very sad. That's when Sierra jumps in and says, how are you going to maintain your sobriety or your sanity if Lindsay gets obnoxious and rude when she's drunk? What does Carl do? Defends her.
Mm-hmm.
She's been a lot better recently, actually. You just haven't seen it because you haven't been around, but she's been a lot better recently.
Yeah, and that's... Look, again, I mean, we talk about it all the time where Carl's giving her so much grace than what we think that she deserves.
She deserves none.
She deserves none. And especially after what she did the night before, I get it. But in that moment, you're still going to defend your fiance, I guess. And that's where, yes, he can have that conversation. But what Sierra said, I feel like, is a little bit towing the line. And it's like, all right, I'm not going to bash my fiance here. I'm going to have to defend her. But if we kind of got there organically instead of Sierra just saying it right then and there, I think we may have had a better answer. And I think that he would have defended her still, but given a better answer and at least gave us a little bit of insight into what he's actually thinking.
Maybe.
It just happened too fast, is my point.
I agree with that. But I also think that his reaction was telling because he didn't. He defended her calmly. He didn't seem up in arms about it. It was almost like, yeah, you're right, but it's been better.
Yeah.
Like it was.
Well, that's what we get with Carl. Even when we think that somebody might offend him and he might get up in arms, he's by himself. Lindsay's not there to blow up. This is him playing it cool.
Yeah, right?
Which he can do. Yeah.
He's very good at that.
It'd be nice if Lindsay could do that.
But we get Gabby, Paige, and Lindsay, and they're back at the house. And we get what I thought was a pretty big leak. It didn't seem to be that much. And that's probably because Paige understands exactly what's happening in this moment, which this is why Paige is great.
Yeah.
Because she clocks it immediately. She's like, I know what you're doing. She goes, I'll accept it, and we're going to move on from it, but I know exactly what you're doing. Because Lindsay lets it slip that the story that leaked last year about Craig allegedly getting kicked out of the wedding, of Kyle and Amanda's wedding, was leaked by Danielle. It was originally thought that Carl and Lindsay did it. That was Paige's accusation. Lindsay, who just got Danielle to say okay to going to the wedding, not 4 hours ago, is immediately throwing her under the bus because it serves her.
I loved it, dude.
It was fucking nuts.
It's so funny.
Like, and thank God, again, Paige is like, I'll accept this. I'm not even going to bring it up to Danielle because we're cool. I'm not going to fuck up our relationship because Lindsay's trying to throw this in
there. Is it actually true?
Who knows?
Who the fuck knows?
Who the fuck knows?
We know. This is the thing. The credibility of who it's coming from is very low. You have no credibility right now. You took, what, 7-8 months to come up with this, and you decided to do it on the day that now you're back with... I don't know what the fuck Lindsay's doing.
I don't know.
You're cool with Danielle now. You just squashed it, essentially. Yeah, obviously, you're going to have to work through some shit, but you squashed it on the beach earlier. You should just be happy with that. Now you have a friend in the house. It's like she's like playing dominoes, and she's using now, all right, first domino went down. I've got Danielle. We're good. I'm going to use this, and I'm going to sacrifice her to get in the good graces of Paige.
Oh, that's chess, baby.
Yeah, and then if I get in the good graces of Paige, then maybe I can get back in with Amanda and I can be nice to everybody else. The problem here, Lindsay, is you're still a piece of shit. So nobody likes you. So this isn't going to work. You got one friend back and immediately sacrificed her. You lost that friend. You didn't gain anything else. Nobody knows what you're saying is true. Nobody's going to give you that. So no, this was a terrible move, but it still made me laugh. I thought it was really funny. And again, this is the type of messiness that I love. Like, this is what we need on these shows, is messy behavior like that. because we can sit here and analyze it and say, that's so stupid. I like that you tried to do that, but it's still really stupid and it's not going to work. But I love to watch it.
But the next day, this tells you once again, I'm gonna point out the moments in which it shows you what place Carl's in this relationship and what his role in this relationship is. And that's to keep the peace so that she doesn't piss off everybody else.
Yeah.
The next morning, or I guess it was that night.
Yeah.
In the morning, she was drunk and they get home and she's like, what was it? Like a winning moment or some stupid shit. She's like, I let Paige know that it was Danielle that leaked the story. That's not a winning moment, you dipshit. You threw Danielle under the bus for what?
You could tell that Carl just immediately identified it as, I'm not dealing with this right now.
He says, good job, babe.
Yeah, we're just going to give her props for something. And I know that's going to be a fire that we're going to have to put out next week. And I don't want to deal with it right now. I want to go to bed.
It's so dumb, dude. Like, I just don't get what the thought process is. As you said, this is chess for dummies. How about that? She read How to Play Chess for Dummies, but with people.
But with people instead.
With people and feelings and relationships.
Nothing she says is true. Like, what, she comes out last week and apologizes, saying that she shouldn't have said that about Carl? Like, now we fully do understand why Carl hasn't said a word.
He doesn't have to.
Lindsay is blowing herself up.
Yep.
In every way, shape, and form. And I know we talked about this last week. I just don't know how you bring Lindsay back into that house if her and Carl aren't dating.
You don't. And then the house is
Which
great.
They will.
You don't. Please they will. Don't. Don't. You don't have to. This
okay.
This cast is fantastic. Think about the first episode.
If we have single Carl.
Think about the first episode. Single Carl would be fun to watch.
Would be great.
Especially sober single Carl. We haven't seen
sober
that.
Sober single Carl would be
great. We saw a glimpse of it.
But we're going to get Lindsay too.
I don't know.
There's a lot of chatter and nobody really knows what's going on. And Danielle apparently said last week that she thinks they need a lot more time to figure it out. Bravo is not a network that gives people time to figure things out.
It's not true. They take gaps. They do. Mm. What are you talking about?
No.
Took a 9-month breather.
But it's Summer House. You can't push it. What are they gonna do? Push it to Winter House and just make Winter House Summer House?
Skip a summer.
They're not gonna do it.
They did it. Miami was paused for 6 seasons, and I know it's not a housewife show. I'm just saying there's definitely a route in which you can. Just because you keep saying it doesn't mean that there's not a way in which they can pause the show.
I think you're talking yourself into.
I'm not talking myself into shit.
Case scenario,
asshole.
I'm not even guessing.
Telling you how I feel about it because it. You cannot say logically that they can pause some shows and not the other just because it doesn't have housewives in the name.
It has summer in the name.
Doesn't fucking matter. You take a summer off.
But then it's next Summer House.
Great. No, it's who would be dumb enough to name it that? This isn't even a good bit. I'm glad you're laughing at yourself because you sound dumb.
No, because I know that this is what's going to happen.
You don't. You're
not going to take
this. Is not a Nostra dumbass moment for you. I think that there's a very real possibility that Lindsay doesn't come back next time.
I can't wait. I'll do something different. You can talk yourself into her not coming back at all. I'll talk myself back into really enjoying her back in the house because everybody bashes her.
Okay, why don't you do that? But let's finish this fucking episode. We get Lindsay and Carl. Well, first we need to point it out because West secured the date. They are going out in the city. It seems like a very fun date. The dude's got Riz.
Dude's got Riz. He's got nips out.
He got nips out. Sometimes you got to get nips out. Nips out for the boys, you know?
Boys play.
You got to do it. And look, the date seems like it went well. They definitely vibe together. As you said, if this doesn't end in a relationship, which I don't think it did, I do think that these two will be just fine.
Yep.
I think they'll be able to be like, high five, that was fun, we tried, whatever, and be able to move on from it, which is great. Because as you said, we don't get stuck in that weird middle ground where now it's a bummer to be in the house because there's awkwardness and all
that shit.
It would
only be a bummer if it doesn't work and then Jesse starts hitting on her.
That would bum me out.
That would bum me out.
That would bum me out a lot. Well, if only we had West coming on the show soon so we could ask him.
We could just ask him.
Hint.
Plain and simple.
Hint, hint, hint.
Say it one more time.
Hint.
There you go.
But the last scene is Lindsay and Carl. This scene sucked as well because Carl takes her to a mocktail bar, which is a thing. There's a lot of these popping up. There's one in Manayunk. So there's a lot of places you can go that are just sober bars. And if there's a market for it, which there seems to be, why not pursue that a little bit? But Carl brings up the next phase in his life. And, you know, the fact that this break has been really good for him. He needed a break. And you said that you kind of see where Lindsay's coming from, and I'll try to look at it through that lens of being frustrated that he's spinning his wheels a little bit, trying to figure out what's next. Sure, fine. The lack of support ever is where I'm like, fuck me, dude, because she's
I'm thinking about it from a viewer who we've seen Carl do this time and time again. I still think it's funny, and I don't really care because it has no impact on my life. But watching the scene of Lindsay just not being supportive, that sucks.
It does, because she's like, you talk a lot, but you don't do it. I'm attracted to drive. Ipso facto, I'm not attracted to you, awkward. You lazy fuck.
Not only that, but if you had drive and ambition, I'd be like, let's go to the bathroom right now. And he tries to crack a joke about going to the bathroom right now. And she goes, no, not right now.
Not right now. Dude. Like, she's literally anything, any joy or hope or anything this man has, she beats it into the ground and he just accepts it because that's where he is. That's his lot in life right now. And that fucking blows for anybody that's been in that position. Like, I feel so bad for him. But he brings up the fact that he's mulling over the idea of a non-alcoholic sports bar, a sober sports bar in the city. Now, do I think that this would be a lucrative idea? I don't know. There, you would have to do it in like the perfect spot, find the right client. It would be a difficult push for sure.
Yeah, that's a really hard push. I wouldn't invest in it.
No, but it's does that mean it won't work? No, there's a way in which it works. But it also seems like he's just throwing ideas out there where he's trying to figure out what's next. And you would think that she could at least entertain the idea and be like, all right, well, like, what's your game plan? Like, how would you go about this? Are you going to get investors? Are you going to take out a loan? What would be the business model just for shits and giggles? Maybe hear him out because he seems excited about it to the point where he took you to a mocktail bar intentionally to be like, hey, you like this? Well, what if she shuts it down immediately? I worked in food and bev my entire life. This is a terrible idea. It's never going to work. You're never going to work again because you're a piece of shit with stupid ideas and you're old Carl. And are you sober right now? Let me smell your mocktail. Anything that she can fucking tear down about this guy, she's tearing it down. She's making him this fucking big. I don't like watching it. I know you think it's funny. I really don't like watching it.
I think it's funny. But I
I know that's
what but I do think that like, we got a glimpse into how it works, and we watched Lindsay sit on the beach and talk about it. And yeah, I know, like I said, it's probably a little frustrating to watch Carl just spin his wheels and try to figure out what he wants to do when you feel like you're kind of carrying the couple together, you're carrying your family together, whatever, at least financially. I think we got a glimpse behind the curtain of what happens when Carl says, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And yeah, we saw an idea that me personally, I don't think it's a very good idea. I don't think it would work, but you know what? What am I? Who am I to say that? I think that he's come to her with multiple ideas. I think there are other things. And I think the reason he's spinning his wheels is because every time he comes to her with something, even if it's just innocuous, like, hey, I'm going to get a sales job, but I might have to work out of like California, so I might have to travel a lot. She would say no to that for a different reason. She just says no right away. And she's not giving him any feedback or any other options. She's not coming back with, well, why don't you do this instead? Maybe this could work. Okay, let's figure this one out. She's just saying no right away. But then she's telling her friends, Carl can't find a job.
Yep.
That's what's going on right now because that's Lindsay.
And it paints a picture that once again, she's trying. I'm putting in the effort. He's not doing shit. He's aggressive. I'm the victim here.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
It sucks. She does. It's tough, man. It's really tough. But it's been an entertaining three episodes.
It definitely has.
And
that's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and I'm glad once again that, you know, we'll be able to see this play out. We haven't heard how this goes down. They've kept a tight lid on it, and I think that's a big attribute to Carl. Like, we've obviously seen Lindsay's camp since the beginning. The woman scorned. This came out of nowhere. This piece of shit. Carl got cameras back up to film this. After what I've seen for three episodes, I'm so glad that he got cameras. And you know why he got cameras? If he did do that, was so that he could show people.
Yeah.
This is why I brought, it's not so I could have my TV moment. It's so that when you try to spin it, I can show them, no, this is what actually happened. I went into it to have a conversation. It escalated as it always does because of her. And I have it on camera to prove I'm not the asshole. That's why he did it.
It tells me that this entire summer is Lindsay doing terrible things, Carl getting frustrated with her, and then her spinning it back at him, and he realizes halfway through, if I break up with her, she's going to do the exact same thing on a much grander level. So yeah, I'm going to bring cameras to that, of course.
Absolutely.
So he was smart enough to realize, I know that the viewers are watching this, and they are on my side, because I'm not really doing anything.
He's not doing shit.
I'm just trying to keep the peace. I'm just trying to make things work, and she is blowing everything up. So he's smart enough to realize that. I need to show the viewers this, because I don't even know at this point if he even needed to show us. We would get it.
Yeah, honestly.
You know what I mean? Like, I get he wants to be overprotective of himself at that point and say, I want to have this on camera so that everybody can see how it blows up. I don't think we even need it, because after three episodes, I already get it. I'm already, honestly, after last season, I already got it. But now I'm three episodes into this. I fully understand it. You should just do it in episode four.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's going to be, oof. I think it's going to get worse before it gets any better. But we got some questions. So let's jump right in. From Canterbury 25, should Carl immediately end their marriage when Lindsay questioned his sobriety? They're not married. But end the engagement in a normal scenario? No, I think that's a very difficult conversation that you have with the person the next day. We didn't get to see that because that didn't happen because Lindsay takes no accountability. But even then, I think that it takes a couple of conversations before you call off an engagement.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he should have shortly thereafter. But again, who am I to say? I don't know. That's a tough one.
That's a really tough one. And I think that once you got to the point where she's not taking any accountability on it, and you realize that she never will, and it's probably going to pop up again, then
yeah.
You do it.
Yeah. From Mary Had a Little, what shooter's beef with Montana?
The fuck did I have beef with Montana with?
The live show.
What did I say? Oh, I forgot about Montana.
What fucking Montana? Like, what the fuck is Montana? And I said Montana's a beautiful place. You said nobody wants to live in Montana.
Well, I don't know. I rescind my beef with Montana.
There you go. Wow.
Got a little heated in the moment, you know?
Hey, that doesn't happen often. He doesn't rescind very often. He usually stands by it, even if he doesn't actually believe it. So that's a big win for you, Mary. From Mary L.M. 1985. The Sandoval comparisons. Why is Lindsay doing that? Was she actually, quote unquote, blindsided? No, she wasn't blindsided.
Not. Well,
she was in
she
shooters.
Was in her own in her own brain, she was definitely blindsided. She did not see that coming.
Shooter explained that well, I thought. Interesting take here. I actually hate this take. From Maul Hardigree. Carl has no career drive, and going back to Loverboy was the easy route. Will it last? I fucking hope so. At least he's working again, and he's doing something that he's passionate about because he's working with non-alcoholic beverages in a company that he's comfortable with one of his best friends.
Yeah, so, as long as it doesn't impede on his friendship again, like we saw last summer, whatever.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's probably in a much better mindset because he doesn't have Lindsay.
Yeah. So.
No.
Boo you.
Disagree.
Yeah. I don't like that one. From Steck 33, do you think Kyle and Amanda still have a place on this show? She seems miserable 24/7.
There is no summer house without Kyle. And Amanda's married to him. So, I mean, if Amanda doesn't want to be on the show anymore, that's on her. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think that the Amanda you're getting right now is a reflection of them not being in a good spot in their marriage.
Yeah.
I think that she can bring more to the table when they're in a better place.
Yeah, we'll see how the season goes with that one. I'm not ready to call that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Last one from, oh boy, Macarin Kate. I think I'm making this one harder than it needs to be. Did Carl let Lindsay off the hook too quickly? This is a subjective answer.
Yeah. I mean, as much as we would have loved for him to hold her accountable for what she said, I get him not doing it because he just wants it to end, especially while they're up at the house. You don't want to make a situation worse. You want to find some sort of middle ground, which is Lindsay's middle ground, not his. Yeah, I mean, theoretically, he definitely let her off the hook way too fast, but
yeah, but
there's
again,
other factors at play. It's tough to say.
The biggest factor at play here is he has to go home with her.
Exactly.
And she's not going to smooth it over.
Nope.
That's on him entirely. So did he let her off the hook too easily? Technically, yeah. Was that the time and place? Probably not. So he just did what he's been conditioned to do throughout this relationship, smooth it over so that when you get home, you're not fucking miserable.
Correct.
Fuck, that's sad.
Right?
He's out of it, though.
He's out. He's good. He's good.
But yeah, this is going to be an interesting season to watch unfold. It's going to be, I think it's going to be tough for me to watch at times. Just with the sober aspect of it, man. I know I don't like to harp on it too much. I feel like I get preachy and annoying with it. But it's just one of those things, dude, that I cannot begin to imagine trying to go through this kind of shit sober in a party house on TV. I don't know how he, like, I have the utmost respect for him and his sobriety to be able to handle this shit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But anyway, make sure that you guys go get those tickets to our live shows coming up. We got the May 3rd at Union Stage in D.C. That's a Friday night. Big venue. We want to fill that place up. Show what the Brav Bro community can do. That would be awesome. I just want a packed house. Big show. It's a really cool venue. Like an actual like state. It's like a theater. It's the first like theater setup we've played. The other place has been cool. Like lounge, 150 seats. This place is 200 plus. So get those tickets. Bring all your friends. The next one's June 14th in Boston. That is also a Friday night. That one's almost sold out. Only 70 or 75 seats. I think they added
75. Yeah.
So get those tickets. There, it's like I said at the beginning of the episode, or that might have been last episode. I think there's maybe 20 or 25 tickets left. That's it. So go get those tickets ASAP. Come hang out with us. And other than that, you got anything else?
Nope. I'm good to go.
Well, Brav Bros are out of here.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.